Welcome to the Mining and Markets Podcast, hosted by Synergy Capital, your source for finding opportunity in the junior mining and resources space, one voice at a time.
And welcome back to another episode of the Mining and Markets Podcast, hosted by Synergy Capital. Joining me today is Keith Bodnarchuk, the CEO of COSA Resources, which trades on the Venture Exchange under the symbol COSA. Keith, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Appreciate being here.
I know we've been trying to coordinate this episode for a while. I think the timing is great right now, given all the positive news that COSA has been putting out, which we'll get into soon. But why don't we first start off with a very brief elevator pitch on the company?
Yeah, certainly. So we are COSA Resources. We're listed on the TSX Venture under the ticker COSA, C-O-S-A. We are a uranium exploration company with exploration assets in the prolific Athabasca Basin in northern Saskatchewan, Canada. We are a somewhat new story. We are just starting our first drill program as a company, but we're led by a team with a track record of success and a track record of discoveries in the Athabasca Basin that dates back over the previous 15 years.
Great. I want to, you know, talk about some of the properties that you have. You know, you have roughly 210,000 hectares of land, like you said, located in one of the best uranium regions in the world. I want to dive into these projects. What makes them favorable for discovery, as well as, you know, some of the reasoning and strategy behind acquiring two additional projects in the last couple months or so?
Yeah, certainly. So these deposits are quite elusive. You know, they are very difficult to find. You know, in the past 15 to 20 years in the Athabasca Basin, there's probably been six significant discoveries, I would say. So, you know, it really starts with our team. Our team does have that track record of success. You know, we are the same group that discovered the Hurricane deposit for ISO Energy. And it really starts with our chairman, Steve Blower, who does have a track record of making discoveries and, you know, through Denison and ISO Energy. And what he always says is that locally, these deposits are difficult to find, but regionally, there is a pattern to them. You have this long northeastern corridors that exist on the east side of the Athabasca Basin. We can map down from the Great MacArthur River all the way down past Griffin Phoenix, the Denison owns, all the way down to Key Lake. And so he said, in order to set ourselves up best for discovery, we have to put ourselves within what we call these uranium corridors to give ourselves that best chance for discovery. And that's what we've tried to do. You know, taking a closer look at the Athabasca Basin, you also realize the east side of the basin is where all the current mines are. That's where all the current mills are. But it's also starting to be extensively explored. You know, there's been decades and decades of drilling. And so we thought to ourselves, where can we find that next great corridor, that next great northeastern trend, which would be an analog to the great trends like MacArthur River? And so we decided we had to head deeper into the basin. And that led us to the Capel Bay Shear Zone, where our URSA project is. And it's really the last great northeastern trend without a significant discovery to date. And so that's where our efforts are focused on. That's where we are currently drilling. And, you know, our URSA project covers about 60 kilometers of the trend. You know, for district scale, that would be like mapping down from Cigar Lake past MacArthur River down to Griffin Phoenix. So it's truly district scale. So if we are right about this project and this area for potential for discovery, we could really be onto something significant in that area. You know, you've seen the success of Fission and NextGen over on the west side of the Athabasca Basin when they found that district scale in the Patterson Lake area. So, you know, for us, it's a very exciting project. It's a very exciting area. And that's why our top priority is URSA currently. But I think, you know, in exploration, it's always good to take that approach of drill it and kill it. That's what we always do. And that's why we always make sure we have a project pipeline. So, you know, URSA is the top priority, especially for 2024. But we also have a project called Orion, which we recently expanded. And it's a very interesting one because it's along the same uranium corridor that hosted the Hurricane deposit, you know, which our group is associated with. But interestingly enough, it's also the convergence of an east-west feature that hosts Cigar Lake further to the east. So you almost have these convergence of two of these great potential trends. And so that's another project we really like. And then Aurora is another one where it's right by Key Lake, the operating mill. And so, like I said, we just like to keep that pipeline of projects because, you know, at ISO Energy, it's important to remember, too, that it was our seventh project where we ultimately found the Hurricane deposit. So we always take that approach of really kind of drill it and kill it and move on to the next project and just make sure we always have a pipeline of good projects. And that's why you'll see us always doing acquisitions to continue to upgrade that pipeline of projects.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And, you know, these projects, were they staked by the company or was it purchased from a local vendor? How did it get into the hands of COSA?
Really a combination, I'd say mostly through staking, but we listed this company in March of 2022. We just had a base metals project in Saskatchewan at the time. And then we put our heads down for over a year building out the land package that we currently have. And a lot of it was through staking, you know, where it's cost effective. It's only 60 cents per hectare to stake. Most of that was URSA, but we also had to do transactions with vendors and, you know, prospectors really to kind of piecework everything together to put us in the position we are today. And, you know, we were somewhat fortunate with the timing, I would say, to be able to piece together the land package we have ahead of what's turning into, looks like a long-term uranium boom.
The timing couldn't be any better. I want to discuss the current drill program going on at URSA. What's the strategy behind it? How many meters are planned?
Yeah, so when we looked at URSA, like I said, it is along that Cable Bay shear zone. And we thought to ourselves, okay, why hasn't there been a significant discovery made here yet? So there has been 15 holes drilled on it. They were largely drilled in the 90s. And I think a good way to think about it back then was they were somewhat limited by the technology they had in order to target down to these depths. And so basically they could drill deeper than their geophysical targets could target. So every time they drill down, they wouldn't be able to prove out the target they got from their geophysics. And so when we looked at that, we're like, okay, so this one's lacking modern exploration. But we also took a closer look and realized that a few of the holes actually did hit uranium mineralization, even though they weren't drilled in the optimal target areas. And so what that showed us is, okay, you know, it was only 0.2% over 0.2 meters uranium, but it shows us that it is, you know, there was uranium fluids going through that trend, and it is a fertile trend. So what we did originally was, okay, we need modern geophysics. We flew mobile MT airborne EM over the URSA project, and we identified 10 key target areas. Importantly enough, none of those target areas had been previously drill tested with those 15 drill holes. And so then what we did in early 2024 was did ground geophysics over top of six of those target areas to further refine, you know, our targets, because the airborne gives you a bit of a fuzzy target area. Then you go down with ground geophysics in order to further refine the target. And then we just prioritize those six target areas. And that's where we ended up on our Kodiak target area where we're currently drilling. This one's interesting too, because it does have the geophysical signatures, which we said, you know, good target area with that. But importantly, it also has other stuff that you can layer in, as, for example, it does have this boulder terrain, which is just to the southwest of it, where you have elevated uranium, elevated boron, and elevated illite, an important clay that's associated with some of these uranium deposits. And so what we did was we vectored in that boulder terrain and put it up ice direction, because back in the thousands of years ago, there would have been glaciers that would have pushed these boulders down ice from a potential uranium source. And so we went up ice, and that just happened to be where a geophysical target was in the Kodiak area. And so when you layer on all those things, it just kind of ticks all those boxes of what you look for in a target area. And that's why we chose that one first. But importantly enough, it is just one of the six target areas that we have drill ready targets on, you know, and it is our first few holes into this area. And so, you know, if, like I said, this, we just spend a few holes in this area, it's not showing what we want, move on to the other target areas. We have a lot of good targets ahead of us, a lot of good drilling ahead of us throughout 2024.
Okay. And what's the budget that you guys have allocated towards this program, and when do you expect it to finish?
So we did just close that financing. So we're sitting with just over $8 million in the treasury right now. That will take us all the way through 2024 and beyond, as far as, you know, doing an extensive exploration program at URSA, plus importantly enough, generating drill-ready targets on Orion and Aurora. So we will have those ones ready for 2025, and we still will have money left in the treasury come the end of 2024. As far as, you know, exact meters, it obviously depends on, you know, how the drilling goes and whether the target areas start to show what we're looking for. But importantly enough, we're also mobilizing in all of our summer gear right now too. You're taking advantage of the lakes being frozen in Saskatchewan. And so we are bringing in a lot of supplies so that it will be a turnkey operation come summer. So we will be drilling now until probably early April, and then we'll take a break and continue again in the summer and, you know, spend 2024 really aggressively drilling URSA.
Great. You know, it seems like the basin's recently become a hotspot for emerging issuers. Everyone wants to get their hands on uranium projects. It's where the market's looking. And there's plenty of catalysts that indicate the spot price of uranium could go potentially a lot higher. You know, however, from an investor standpoint, there's clearly a lot of different companies with unique stories all in the basin. You know, you probably have about 15 companies or so exploring the area. My question is, you know, amongst all of the players in the basin, and that's including companies that have already made a discovery, you know, why should investors consider COSA as one if they're, you know, getting exposure to some uranium?
Yeah, definitely a team, right? In exploration, I think the team is the most important. I didn't touch on all the members of the team, but Steve Blower, our chairman, obviously is the VP of exploration of Denison when they discovered the Griffin deposit and expanded the Phoenix zone. He moved over, became the VP of exploration of ISO Energy when they found the Hurricane deposit. And going further than that, Craig Perry is a strategic advisor for us. He was a founding director of NextGen, a founding director and CEO of ISO Energy. And then it goes down to just showing our bench strength. Andy Carmichael, VP Exploration for us. He was the former VP Exploration of ISO Energy. When they put out their initial resource, he was also part of the discovery team. and Justin Rodko, another member of that ISO Energy Discovery team. So, you know, we are a group that has been associated with multiple deposits at both the corporate and technical level. And really, you know, we take that same recipe or same formula that we've that's given us success in the past, and we'll continue to apply it to the projects we have. We do always take that approach. If these projects aren't yielding what we want, we'll move on to other projects. And so, yeah, I think that really gives us somewhat of an advantage, you know, compared to other companies, in the sense that we do bring that track record. And I think we will bring a little bit more of an efficiency, you know, importantly, when we're drilling, knowing when we're not close to something, to, you know, to move on to something, or knowing when maybe when we are getting close to something and vectoring in towards that potential discovery. Yeah. So I think, you know, and timing wise, you know, we are a new company. So we managed to keep our cap structure quite tight at this point. We do have a good access to capital that dates back to our relationships, you know, with obviously working at ISO Energy, NextGen, Denison. And so I think you put all those together, you know, and it provides this unique situation where we have this tightly held share structure with backed by a team that, you know, has really had a lot of success in the basin over the past 15 years.
I couldn't agree more. It seems like the team has quite the synergy, and I'm excited to see this thing move forward. Why don't we talk a little bit about the share structure? You did mention that. Post-financing, what does it look like?
Yeah, so post-financing, like I said, we're sitting currently about $8.1 million in the treasury. We've obviously started to deploy a lot of that in the winter here, but we will be fully funded all the way throughout 2024 and beyond with aggressive exploration program at URSA. So cap structure-wise, we're sitting at just over 56 million shares outstanding. Funds and strategic investors own about 31% of that. So really, we have about 46% that would be retail, or 46% that are float. And you know, these funds that have came in, you know, they've really been strong supporters of us. They are all long uranium funds, have been strong supporters of us, you know, throughout ISO Energy and other groups that we've been associated with. And so, you know, cap structure wise, like I said, we do only have 56 million shares outstanding with $8 million in the treasury. So it just goes to show how tightly held we are, you know, and management and insiders, you know, continue to buy. We buy on market. We buy, obviously participate in all the financings, you know, and we'll continue to do that because, you know, this is just the start of our story and there's just a tremendous amount of value to be had here.
That's great. And just to wrap up, Keith, I want to get your outlook on the uranium market, say in the next year or so, going into the next year as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a fantastic time, obviously, in uranium, you know, especially relative to the overall market, but you saw the spot price shoot up to just over $100, you know, it's obviously come back down to, you know, mid 80s right now. But that's just a product of how illiquid the spot market is. But it's also just a fraction of what the overall uranium market is, right? There's the term market, which you have to look at, where you have these long-term contracts. And what you've seen is a steady rise in that price, you know, steadily rise from $50 all the way up to $75 where it currently is. And I think that's a big indicator of what's actually happening in the background, that we've had this steady increase, you know, in the price of uranium backed by that term market. And the spot market, obviously, the equities tend to follow it. And there are a lot of catalysts that are coming up over the next 12 months that you'll probably see the spot market continue to shoot up the way it just did previously.
Great. Keith, I appreciate the time and I'm looking forward to seeing assay results when the time is there.
Yeah, thanks, Liam. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and remember to follow us on social media, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This episode should not be considered investment advice. Always do your own due diligence.